Hey guys, this is Mike Mahaffey, the old bastard BJJ guy, here for BJJ Metal Models. Back in my day, we had to walk uphill in the snow both ways to get to the academy just to learn some crappy technique from a random purple belt. You kids have it so easy, because now you can just subscribe to BJJ Metal Models Premium and get tons of great audio courses to learn new techniques, enhance your mindset, and entertain yourself. You can even get personalized rolling reviews from some of your favorite BJJ Metal Models coaches, including me. It's like having your own seminar, you spoiled little whippersnappers. So what are you waiting for? Subscribe to BJJ Metal Models Premium right now, get off my lawn, and go train.
Hey, welcome to BJJ Mental Models episode 240. I'm Steve Kwan. BJJ Mental Models is your guide to a conceptual and intelligent jiu-jitsu approach. And today, back again with the Estonian defensive strategist, Mr. Preet Mikkelsen. How's it going, Preet?
good name. So far, good. I'm home for once and then, yeah, everything seems to be normal. Still married.
You spent a lot of time on the road. I guess, actually, this is the first time you've recorded with us since you and I actually met in person. You were here visiting in Vancouver, and I got to go to one of your seminars.
Yeah. So that was funny, actually, to meet you in real life. You always, you know, when you meet people in through screens and stuff, then real life is different. And I was like, is it really you? Yeah. And so, yeah, all good. It was fun.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about some of the stuff that you've been working on. I mean, I was originally thinking we could do an episode on how to antagonize Reddit, but they've got enough problems right now. As of this recording, the site is basically down. So forget them. Let's talk about jiu-jitsu instead. Yeah. What have you been up to? I know that you wanted to talk about sideways open guard, and I'd love to discuss this one in a lot more detail, but maybe you could go ahead and just explain what it means and what you've been working on and researching in regards to that position.
So, you know, it's a sideways open guard. Yeah, it's kind of, name says it. But so what my interest is, I'm always, you know, trying to teach something. And the guard open, good open guard has always been, let's say, hard to teach to beginners. So there's different ideas how people do it. And, you know, some mat rats usually figure it out if they do jiu-jitsu and studying purple belts. Most of the people start to be like a, some sort of good retention, you know, recreational people talking here. And there were some ideas that Grill Chicken couldn't answer, because there was some stretching stuff happening and there was people playing sideways and under, you know, under back like supine version. So the question was always there. And now, and we were seeing this, we've been seeing this structure, like if I would say like everywhere, probably I'm exaggerating, but like a lot of high level people use it. And so basically it's, think about a position, like, you know, you're on your back, your knees are pulled to you and then you fall on your side. It's like a body could be like, you know, 45, 60 degrees, whatever. So you're not totally vertical shoulders. So the top leg actually can be knee rotated inwards. And then arm is over the knee, so to speak, hovering over the knee. And the knee is like in a knee shield, early knee shield position. And also knee can be out. And then usually arm is inside of the knee, so to speak. And that could be also, that's a version we've also seen. So what we call sideways guard at the moment, I guess, so that's the section we use at the moment on our elbow, because that is, elbow is weird how it works. People usually play on their shoulders, you know, on straight arm, like, you know, open guard, sitting up guard. But I know if I say it like nobody uses it, probably people like, yeah, I do it too. But if I go around and show people, then people are surprised that, you know, why the elbow and why, you know, why not straight arm? And elbow is, let's say, underused as a post. So it's sideways. What we promote right now is a sideways kind of, you know, tilt and the elbow post. And then at the moment, so we're using the kind of leg close to your chest. So the arm is over the knee. And that seems to be the structure that is the last one before we go to sit up guard, so to speak. So the elbow post still give us benefits of the mobility, rotation, or also going forward and backwards. And we still have our legs front of the opponent, so to speak. And then we still, you know, can play on our backs. And obviously then we can have a shoulder version and then we can have a knee out version. And then finally we're on our back. So there seems to be like a lot going on there and different version that's been played and utilized by high level guys. Example, like Miao and Kobrinha. Miao played basically more elbow inside the knee. I know Ross Nichols, one of the UK grapplers, exclusively plays that. Lachlan played against Rutolo, kind of like a knee was inwards in that sense, an arm was over the leg. So he didn't put like a, you know, not too often the arm inside. So, but we're promoting the elbow post because it seems to be, let's say, more fundamental when people don't give you pressure. So you can move towards opponents yourself and create that pressure. If they already give you pressure, then playing on your shoulder and being less active, so to speak, in a guard waiting for them to engage seems to be what a lot of people actually prefer, like Diego Pato. And it's really like, it's basically everywhere. If you watch good open guard, people play it all the time, but there's no, I don't know any of the public available, like a DVDs or, you know, something about that position that I know from supine version. I know that, you know, Lachlan has done it with Ari Dabak. I have a grilled chicken DVD. Alec Balding, I think, has some open guard on his back. But that information seems to be, jokingly call it missing. And so we kind of stumble on this and we understood. And then we're trying to figure it out and kind of map it out. So that's the short introduction.
Got it. And it occurs to me that it's been a while since we've actually talked about this here on the podcast. So just a quick recap for anyone who maybe missed our earlier conversations and our talks about the open guard and seated guard. The way that I've always thought of open guard is you can normally play two different variants of it. You can either play a seated guard, which is where you're sitting upright, you're on your butt, you're probably scooting around back and forth. Examples of that would include butterfly guard, for example. Or you can play what has been called a supine guard, as you mentioned, also sometimes called a recumbent guard. And that's basically where you lie down on your back. Now, the thing about that supine guard is you got to be a bit careful playing that. That, you know, this is the version where you're kind of sitting like a dead spider and you're kind of all coiled in there and you're waiting for your opponent to come towards you. You can play that quite effectively in the gi because you can grab someone's sleeves and collar and you can pull them into that position. In no gi, it can be a bit risky to play that because you don't have those kinds of grips. So that's where your system and the grilled chicken guard comes into play. Basically, that's a supine guard where you're keeping everything tight and retracted to make it difficult for your opponent to grab something, leg drag you, and to pass, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And it sounds like the main thing here that you're adding is this tilt onto the side. Because, of course, the problem with being supine is if both of your shoulders are pinned onto the floor and you're kind of lying flat on your back, that's a position where it's hard for you to have a lot of mobility. And of course, it makes it easier for your opponent to pin you down there, which you generally don't want. So I like this idea of kind of being tilted onto your side. And yeah, I also saw Lachlan do that last year as well, where he was kind of playing that side tilt. It's an interesting compromise between being flat on your back and being upright. Because like you said, if you're basing on your elbow or even your shoulder, you've got some ability to move around. So you don't have to just sit there and wait for your opponent to come at you. You can kind of scoot toward them and you can attack from that position, which is, I think, a really cool, interesting difference.
So what's interesting about a sideways open guard is you can actually stretch. And people seem to stretch if you watch like Lachlan. There's a lot of, you know, pictures about Lachlan and Rutolo. And Rutolo is stepping on his bottom leg and, you know, Lachlan seems to care less. And there's for me at least, famous picture, Diego Pato and Rutolo. And when kind of Rutolo also steps on Diego Pato's bottom leg because he's a little bit stretched out. And then Diego keeps his knee very close to the top knee, very close to his body. And it's kind of like on a little bit on a tilt. So, you know, if you are on your back, so then stretching, kind of like stretching the legs out, you know, even both or single, it feels, it's hard to describe why, but if somebody does it, you know, I have a context of jiu-jitsu, and then it feels weird to stretch those legs out from the supine version of the guard. It feels like you're opening everything up and it's an easy pass from that side when you stretch. But in sideways, if you turn a little bit, you know, on your elbow, you know, that's what we're promoting, but also on our shoulder, it's super weird how it works because then stretching, even the top leg stretching, becomes very weird. That also, like, you can see elbow post, kind of that structure we said. Jacob Couch used it in a Who's Number One. He had maybe a couple of months ago, whatever the match was, he was playing against, it's a no-gi match, but he was against a gi player, and he ended up guillotining the guy, but he was also using that going in, creating connection with him, and he used top leg as a low kick kind of hook to get close, and you're going to irritate. So people actually are using, in that version of the elbow or this under-shoulder version, they're using a lot of times the bottom leg to hook slide forward, to hook inside, you know, hook outside, get a contact, you know, and like your bottom arm can maybe grab the ankles or hunt, you know, go to inversions, and bottom leg can kind of, you know, hook inside, outside. And there was a, you know, famous clip, JT Torres, you know, and Ross Nichols, and there was a lot of that sideways open guard going on. So it's a lot of that sideways stuff. And, you know, I'm promoting the elbow because it seems to be better default, so to speak. One extreme would be on your elbow and then legs, you know, front of you sideways. Another extreme is supine. And there seems to be like a, I don't know, postures that are also between there, you know, the supine and elbow posture. So we have to kind of map them out. So it seems to be like a really versatile position and like highly, highly used by, you know, I don't know, advanced grapplers or whatever. And yeah, like surprisingly, there's not so much videos about it, you know, like people talking about it or explaining how this retention works there. Because what seems to be what people don't, I don't say don't like it at first, but it seems to be more open than it is, because the on your back guard, supine version, you know, knees are close and stuff and your elbows are actually on a mat for a balance, gives you a wider base. But everything seems closed, and then people are, you know, like a boxing cover defense, kind of like you can just, you know, hang out there also. But if you turn sideways, then it's weird that it looks more open than it actually is, because it becomes like a, in, you know, like a staggered stance, like boxing and wrestling use. So it's a little bit give and take. So you get more opportunities to attack, obviously, because you're sideways, you can sit up faster, you can invert faster to legs and stuff. And there's always some openings for a top person also, maybe, you know, stomp on your leg or something. But it's not, you know, not like totally tilted towards the top person. Oh, this is easy to pass. And then the supine version seems like very passive, so to speak, compared to the sideways version. So those are like there's a lot of interesting stuff, and there's a lot of matches to study, actually.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting observation. One of the challenges with a classic supine guard is it's really easy for your opponent to grab onto your legs and do bad things to you. You have to be very careful if you're playing a traditional supine guard where you're lying flat on your back, because if your legs are down too low, your opponent can Toriando you. If your legs are up too high, they can stack pass you. If your legs are extended, they can leg drag you. So it's a very tricky position to play that safely, especially in no-gi, which I think is where your grilled chicken material is so useful. But you bring up a good point, which is if you turn kind of sideways to an angle, to like a 45 degree angle to the side, it creates a tricky angle for your opponent, and it's no longer going to be that easy for them to just stack pass you or Toriando pass you, because your legs just aren't at the correct angle for that anymore. So that, I suppose, gives you a little bit more freedom to extend your legs and to probe a little bit. I think you're right. It probably feels weird to do that. I admittedly haven't played this variant myself that much lately. I'm sure it feels weird because you generally don't want to extend a leg out like that for fear of it being grabbed. But if you're tilted at the right angle, it's going to be difficult for your opponent to do anything with that leg, correct?
Yes. One example also would be why, let's say, both have their benefits, obviously, but supine's, let's say, problem to the beginners. Every pass is equal to either side. You know, Toriando, you can do left and right, leg drag to left and right, knee slide to left and right. So people can actually trick, you know, have a Toriando, then do like a shake left, right, you know, very fast, boop, you know, and then the fake low, fake left, go right, you know. And a lot of people are like suckers for that, because you can actually, because they're sitting there like passive, you know, waiting for your contact, and you can initiate the pass and kind of trick them left, right away very fast. But there's benefits also, like, you know, being on your back. But sideways, you can actually funnel, because if you take sideways, then you know that knee slide, if you tilt your body, you know, on your right side, you know that from left side, there's no knee slide, you know? So they're trying to probably do left side in a, so your right side on your side, like knee slide, and that other side leg drag, let's say. And you can, you know, Torandos are weird. And so you can actually, like, staggered stance, people can't attack you equally, same thing from left and right. So you're better equipped to knowing what comes from where, so to speak. And in a way, sideways is more open, but the funneling effect is really interesting, that you actually gain more information from the person that what's maybe going to happen. And, you know, some people, you know, I think most of the world, they like to play on their right side. So if somebody really wants to interrupt somebody, they go knee slide to your left, so to speak, in the bottom. So, but picking aside, sideways, you can actually funnel the opponent to the side you want. And what comes to the top leg, there's interesting things that if you play, let's say, if your knee is like a, let's say, 45 knee shield kind of early position, and your arm is over your knee, reaching towards them, then your opponent is more front of you, so to speak. There's actually some angle thing going on, but let's say call it front of you. If your knee is outside and your arm is inside of your knee, then the opponent cannot be front of you because of the leg drag option. It's very quick to do a leg drag. So most, a lot of times also with Rotolo and Miao and Cobrinha, is if somebody plays knee outside and the arm inside, then the angle is more towards the north-south a bit. So like the bottom leg defends the leg drag also, and they're a little bit like even like 45 towards your body. So they're more like, not in like exactly perpendicular to you, but the angle is way more aggressive that you have to keep. So the all the leg drag stuff and going behind motions are not there. So people play it differently. And Miao was a lot of times, you know, attacking 2017 K-guards and tried to funnel Cobrinha to the north-south section. So can like, you know, K-guards and invert and stuff and choy bars and whatever he attacked with. So that the knee kind of decides the angle. And we see actually what's interesting is we see that knee outside, arm inside version played way more compared to the, let's say, knee inside and arm outside version. And I guess I also have some reasonings why. And also we see on our shoulder version played way more than on your elbow version. But I think as a default, as a way to start to define the extremes, the elbow is there and then also the shoulders and supine is there. So, but it's interesting what high-level people tend to use more. So, but because of maybe they're, not lazy, but maybe they're waiting and the rules and maybe they're under pressure. So they tend to, fall to that section of the open guard more. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, that's a really good point, actually, about how if you're on your side, you're not giving your opponent symmetrical options anymore. They can't just switch side to side and do the same thing. Something that we've talked about a lot on the podcast is the desire to create predictability in what your opponent does. And part of the challenge with a loose guard setup is that your opponent can do a lot of things. It can make it very difficult to predict what they're going to do. And that means that your reaction time is going to be slower. It's easier for your opponent to launch into a sequence that they want to launch into. But you're right. If you tilt to the side, now you're cutting down their options because there's only a certain series of passes they can use if they go to the left. And if they go to the right, they're going to have to pick different ones, which makes your defenses a bit more predictable. That's awesome to hear. That's a good idea too. I would be curious to know, because you did talk a little bit about arm placement and you talked about variations where you might have your top elbow on the outside of your leg versus on the inside. Let's expand a bit on that. I'd particularly want to know, is there a particular reason why you might play it one way versus the other? Have you observed any reason why it might matter, or is it just a preference thing?
So I'm glad you asked this. We didn't talk about it before, but I'm happy that question emerged. We were talking, so hinting a little bit the ecological approach here. But let's say I know why Ross Nichols plays it. I met him last year in August, so we talked about it because he exclusively plays it in a pretty decent high level, and I had a chance to talk with him. So he plays knee outside and elbow inside, arm inside, because he's he's trying to avoid like a smash, yeah, that somebody kind of leg view you or pushes your knees together, so elbow kind of supports, So that was his reasoning. So, but what we do, let's say, benefits of both. One thing people have to, or you have to try yourself, if you are on your elbow, like body is like sideways, also not like slouching shoulders back, sideways a little bit. It's weird to have elbow outside and arm inside because you're almost like tilting yourself back. It's good to play this when you're on your shoulder. It kind of makes sense. But as soon as you put the elbow up, it's quite weird to be like elbow, arm in, knee out. So it's more like, beneficial or even like, first of all, comfortable to play knee inside and arm outside. And so the question is now also that how do you avoid the smash? Because most people try to, smash it. So then sadly, I have to give credit to John Thomas. Usually, it's sad to give credit to people. I would like everything to be my invention. Ha, 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 ha. It's a joke, So, but he actually, there's his Instagram reel. I think last year, either 24th or 25th April, when he talked about, there's an Instagram reel about how this thing will change your open guard completely. So he's on his side, and he has that sideways open guard structure, but he's on his shoulder. And he talks about being on a really, really like a narrow place on a hip bone. And then he switches very fast from left to right. So he was talking about that kind of upward crunch, even like a mini baby bridge crunch helps you to switch sides very fast. But I got hit to the face with was his top leg placement. His top leg is actually weirdly toes are pointing outwards. Like even like a heel looking position yourself, like for me at least, it felt like knee is kind of inside and toes are like upright, so to speak. And it's in different videos, he also does it, but I haven't seen a video when he actually talks about it because I got like, this is looks so weird, why? And then for me, he's a, you know, guard, open guard authority. He does it, you know, I don't question his stuff so much. I see what he does and he has to do the right things. And so I can use him as a filter to find out things. And that toe placement actually gave us ability because if you play, let's say, your knee inside, you know, like close to the body in a shoulder kind of pocket, you know, not upright vertical shin kind of, but like 45, 50 degrees from ground. And if you point your toes or upwards without actually moving your knee, it's something weird happens in a shin that it's the leg is really, really hard to smash. And if you, like, you know, point your toes downwards, like in a, you know, like toe hold position yourself kind of, then the leg is super weird and it's hard to push back when somebody pushes your ankle down. And the toes actually makes it like a pretty strong. I usually do in seminars, you know, those tests with like some 60 kilo girls, you know, and I'm over 100 kilos right now and I can't push their knee down. So that's always the people like weird. And for me, this was a major detail that allowed actually me to play. I use it the same detail when I play knee shield against knee slide. Or I play knee shield against like Z guard knee shield because I know people want to like, you know, smash through the knee shield, the leg weave and stuff. But that toe up changes certain angle, even pushes the shin bone to your body. So you're not pressing to the shin from the side, but you're almost pressing that to the shin, to the top of the shin if I turn my toes up. So for me at least, how I describe it, the leg becomes like you're pushing like in a direction of the leg press. So I kind of redirect that force. So for me, it almost feels like you're pressing, like totally my knees are close to my chest and you're pressing down and I care less. So I'm not saying nobody can smash that leg, but it's like surprisingly difficult and they have to act a little bit differently and move further away from me to actually create more leverage to smash. And that further away movement, let's say from if you want to sprawl on my legs, I can escape the bottom leg then and, you know, and that extra move that you have to do to smash it, to drag out the force vector is actually beneficial for escaping my bottom leg. So that toe up, and that I recommend everybody to go see it. That was very weird when he showed that. I think 24th Instagram, April, like last year. And so that was also like a really big puzzle because that's why typically people like knee outside and arm inside. So that allowed us. And then if you use your elbow, you can be very aggressive towards opponent because you can go forward actually and create contact and make top people actually, the standing people who patrol past the guard, make them look like passive or even make them go step back. Usually in a guard, you know, you stay and kind of, either you're sitting up guard, that's aggressive, but it's supine version or different kind of shoulder version are not very aggressive towards the passer. So the elbow allows that. And then the elbow and the knee in arm out version, it works, just the knee in works there way better. And then you can use both legs as kind of like a hooking mechanism and get contact. And you can stretch both legs actually towards opponents to get hooks around his legs. And it's rather weird stuff happening because of that ability to have toe up and leg not so easy to smash.
Yeah, that's a really, really interesting point. And I love how you brought up that playing this position sideways lets you dictate the pace and go after your opponent even though you're on the bottom in a supine position. And this is very different from a traditional jiu-jitsu supine open guard. If you know anyone has seen the old memes about, you know, get in my guard or crawl atop me and meet your doom, you know, that's where jiu-jitsu looks the most ridiculous, where you've got someone sitting, you know, on their back looking like a dead spider, and they're hoping that the other person just wanders into their guard and plays jiu-jitsu with them. Against a good person, that often doesn't work, because a good person is not going to just wander into your open guard. They're going to try to launch right into a passing sequence and get around you. That's why in the gi, you can get away with the supine guard, because you can set really good grips and then pull the person into it. In no gi, though, it can be a bit tricky to be aggressive from a supine guard, because you're on your back, you're sort of pinning yourself to the floor with your shoulders down, so you don't have a lot of mobility. But if you're on your side, and especially if you're on your elbow, you're right, you can chase your opponent. You don't have to wait for them to come towards you, which means you don't have to cede the pace. You can go after them. That's one of the reasons I generally prefer to play seated guard, in fact, is because you can do that. You can move back and forth and manage the distance a bit more and go after your opponent. With a supine guard, hard to do that unless you've got those gi-based grips. So that is a cool distinction. Talk to me a little bit about that. How do you play this position aggressively from the bottom? So if I am in that side tilt guard, I can move back and forth, but give me some pointers. Is there an ideal range you want to be attacking from? Any good setups that you would use to get in close? Like, what does that look like if you're attacking from that position?
So the distance seems to be the bottom leg jab. So we do, when we teach this, we do drills that you want to keep your, the bottom leg can act like a jab distance tool. So to reach out, to hook, to stop them coming in. So like I would call it like boxing. So if you're usually or like outside of the, you know, jab range, then they want to step in, and that's the range usually. You're not keeping them close. Other way, they're too close to do you, and they like overcome the reaction time. So the jab, actually, the bottom leg is one of the tools to measure. So if they're coming too close, you can get out, push them out, or tie them up. So it's like MMA, you know, nobody stays like front of you, and you either get out or you clinch. So there's no kind of that fake distance when people are face to face, so to speak, and nothing happens. So if you go forward, so in that sense, you can move on your elbow. You're usually, your, let's say if your knee is in and arm is out, your arm is reaching towards them. Because of your elbow, your arm is actually reaching a bit weirdly far. And if you go forward, do you know, towards them, either they do a lot of steps back or they try to stop you. So, but and the stopping you, usually what happens is they put their arm on your shin bone. And that means we have a rule, if they grab, you grab. It's also, you know, jiu-jitsu gi rule, you know. So they usually, either they post a shin low, like ankle a little bit, you know. They post on a more on an upper shin. So, and then you can have contact. You can grab the wrist. You can actually stiff arm the elbow. And in some cases, you can also like stiff arm the shoulder. And very often, you can actually reach for a collar, because the elbow actually gives you weird distance. Because usually if you are on your back, and if they grab your shin, it's kind of hard to like reach for their collar, let's say. But if you have like elbow on a mat, you can have a staggered body. Your arm actually is longer and you can reach further away. So when you said, I just going to add something that maybe I go in, you know, I chase them on my elbow and then I jump in, let's say, and then I can be also on my back, but then I'm already in, you know, like X card, whatever. And then I can play also on my back, but I use the elbow to get in. And then I jump on my back or jump under them or whatever. That's then when typical guard happens. And also one way to get contact, let's say, is when they grab the shin bone, you can actually pummel inside of the grab they're reaching, sometimes with a spider hook. You know, you grab the wrist and you pummel the leg inside of the spider, and then your bottom arm can sometimes grab their other ankle, and you kind of like a hybrid kind of situation of the spider guard, and then you slide your butt closer to them, and then, you know, jiu-jitsu guard, different ones can happen. So you get a contact through the frame they're giving you. And then also one way would be, why I don't like, let's say, why I prefer this kind of guard also, is that sometimes weird things happen when you do a sit-up guard, because opponent is like, let's say, the straight legs, but they're bent body. And if you are having sit-up guard on your straight arm, a little bit sideways on your straight arm, one arm is free, you know, keeping the distance. Sometimes it's weird to play against those passers, because they're so high. They're not matching your head level. They're a little bit like bullying you from above, you know? And if you reach with your free arm towards their collar, there's a countless highlight videos of people getting jumped triangle, jumped armbar, you know? So I actually consider it quite dangerous that if you're a sit-up guard and then you have to reach a little bit above your eye level to reach, you know, grab their head or grab the collar, because that opens up a lot of like dangerous, like distance covering attacks. So we can play on our elbows, go forward, and we can play on our elbow. Yeah, one arm is still free, one arm is on the elbow, and I still have my legs in front of me, so to speak. I can still have that, you know, the benefit of my legs, so to speak, and I can always lift them up, both of them, kind of, even if I use one leg sometimes to, like, you know, create friction on the ground and drag myself forward. But if I get to the distance, I can reach safely for a collar, and I can still point both the sole of the feet towards them. So it's harder, way harder to jump over that guard and then, you know, get armbarred, because usually I know people jump and then another person understands that the jump is coming, so they just try to slide under them, but it's already sometimes too late because they got past the knees and stuff. So that way playing, it makes it way more difficult to actually be a victim of those things. Let's say it seems that way. So that will be one way to go forward. Let's say to get the wrist, because you're aggressive, they have to put arms on you. Then you get a contact, then you're off you go. You can have different kind of arm grabs, let's say, and you can put the foot on hip maybe some way. And a lot of times also what happens is I can actually reach with both legs. We call them like a police leg locks. You know, like a, you know, you have seen those police videos when they do scissor takedowns on the calf, you know, and somebody falls. There's ways to do it to catch the leg. Like, let's say if you're on your right hip, so your left leg is a top leg, it catches kind of low kicks behind the knee. And then your bottom leg, as a jab tool, places itself on the top of the ankle. And you have that kind of push and pull pressure there, actually. And because your leg is outside, if you suck yourself in there, you actually can go to like a single leg right away, because you're outside right away. So you can wrap the knee. So that's usually what people don't like, that I can get to the outside of the knee. So that's one way also that a lot of those legs, we see it all the time with the typical grilled chicken, like on your back. We couldn't explain them what they did, because people stretched. And I was like, God damn it, they still stretch, and something that grilled chicken can't explain yet. And then the sideways, we don't call it anymore the grilled chicken, because it doesn't resemble maybe that much anymore. But it's still, you know, if you're pulled both knees back and being sideways, it still resembles, I guess, the rotisserie chicken. But those kind of stretching, that it's like way safer. It's obviously, you know, dangerous also, like boxing. If you stretch your arm, you get punched in the face. So it matters when to stretch your arms as a punch, you know. So obviously stretching comes with certain price, but it's way more doable compared to being on your back. So that also helps to kind of like a stretch hooks in and then pull them close or suck yourself more in yourself, so to cover more distance. So those are the ones I would mention right now, but, you know, it's easier obviously to show.
Yeah, yeah. You know, something you brought up there, which I think is really insightful, is this idea of using the bottom leg as a jab, which makes a lot of sense, because if you're using your bottom leg to try to probe and connect with your opponent when you're tilted on the side like that, there's not a lot your opponent can do to that bottom leg. Now, you mentioned an example of something they can do. They can step on that leg, but that's really not that annoying, because if they do that, then they're kind of giving you their base. And now you can bring in your other foot, you can bring in your arms, you can start attacking that leg. So it's risky for them to step on your leg in that manner. And this is an interesting way that this sideways open guard is different from kind of the traditional supine guard, I guess. When I was much younger and starting jiu-jitsu, I remember at white and blue belt, I guess one of the big things I learned at that level was, if you're going to play a supine guard, you've got to be very careful with what you do with your legs, because if your opponent grabs your legs when you're playing supine, they're going to go into, like you said, a stack pass, they might Toriando, they might go into a leg drag. It's very hard for you to answer that unless you've got them totally tied up with your grips. Whereas in this situation, when you're kind of tilted on the side, you can use that bottom leg, like you said, kind of as a jab to probe them, to give them something to think about, to connect with them. And it's a pretty low commitment technique, because there's not that many bad things that can happen to you by extending that leg. And that's very different from a traditional supine guard, where you've got to always be monitoring where your foot and leg placement is, because if you're off by even a second, they're going to grab your feet and initiate a pass. That's a very different thing from this particular variant that you're talking about here.
Yes, a couple of weird things also that now we can explain. You know, I'm not saying we can explain everything, but it's a pretty big step forward. What happens with stomping, you know, you can also mention the, I can also mention Nicky Ryan and Rotolo match. A lot of stomping going on there. It was a good match. And stomping, we had a very hard time creating stomping in our gym. Let's say if you play supine guard, not a lot of stomping actually happening. The only stomp it is, you can do like Keenan did to Miao, you know, like an inside kick and then leg drag. But other than that, it was very hard to do like stomping, you know, that there, I know some Leo Vera has some, you know, pinning the shin on a mat and stuff, different day. Putting, the weird part is they're putting the person on their side, so to speak, to do those, you know, shin blocks on them, you know, they step on a hook and then they go around. But it's weird that I can do it myself. And then so stomping, you know, is a pass. You should have it first. But now we have a delivery system to actually teach stomping, you know, because it happens in our gym. And there's a context and people, are, it's fun to learn it. It's a very good, useful tool. So for me as a coach, it was important that, you know, we get exposed to everything. Not like, oh, we don't do this pass, that pass. So can our guard explain the, you know, the stomp pass happening? So now we can actually, you know, be ourselves there and people can, you know, stomp. Or there's a reason also like to create it from the, let's say, the supine version that we've seen people, you know, tilt their, the opponents themselves and do supine guard. So for me, the stomping, that's why it was very good. And also one idea, I think we talked about it also here, or some people talk about it where we did our, like, you know, premium stuff, is, you know, connecting the elbow to the hip. So the side, people call it the, you know, side between the armpit and to the hip real estate is very precious. And if you are doing supine version, you know, and if you move your leg over kind of stretching, you leave that open. And it seems like the side that it's closest, the let's say if you stretch your supine, you stretch your right leg and then opponent comes from that side also, that will be like a dangerous, yeah? But weird is that if you're sideways, then that open space is turned towards the mat more. And something happens that I have hard time explaining, but it's not as dangerous to give that space away as if you were laying on your back. And because you're sideways, you have maybe easier time wrestling up, going to the turtle, like low singles, whatever. You have some recovery options are actually quite there, inverting to backside 50s and stuff. And that real estate is weirdly hidden. So there's a trade-off. I get the bottom leg as a hook, like we talked about, but also that space is turned towards the mat and it's, in a way, not as exposed as you would be on your back. So that was a really interesting discovery for us, because that's what we, when we watch those matches, we always like, how can they play this? Because that space is open and everybody says that its space has to be closed, but they play it like this and they don't care. So there has to be something that we don't understand. And it seems to be like, maybe there's more rules, but it seems to be a certain angle makes it less dangerous, so to speak. And or there's a trade-off of passing and the easier recovery. And that means the passers actually are not so effective to passing to that spot. And I have way easier time recover, so it kind of balances itself out and it becomes a sport match, you know, like who's tired, whose timing is better and stuff. But it's not like a default flow that you try to expose. And if the top leg is very close to you, so they're not easy access to underhooks and stuff because your knee is very close, like Rotolo and Lachlan. So, and you know, they went also north-south and Lachlan was playing like his very interesting game that actually, you know, we like because we're studying north-south. Sideways open guards goes to north-south also. And the way Lachlan plays it, just like a different, you know, off-rant a little bit. Lachlan plays it very late, so he helped us to understand that study. So we are adding also, probably he does it too, but I haven't seen at least. Maybe on his site he does it. But we have also adding then, you know, like a legs towards opponent version. He plays like really, really open north-south that he baits people in and then goes to choy bars and everything else he does. So again, those are also like a weird observations that life has. And then we try to explain it with that sideways open guard. And it seems to be pretty good.
Got it. Now, something I want to ask here. Do you see this sideways open guard as an evolution of what we'd previously called grilled chicken, where you're kind of flat on your back and supine? Does it replace that guard, making that guard obsolete? Or is there still a reason why you might play that classic, both shoulders are on the back, everything is supine guard, instead of getting to the side?
Wonderful question. Like we have planned this, Steve, you know, No, I actually, because these days I talk more about ranges. And so I would like to know the range of the tool. So that's why we have mini baby bridge, you know, where the sideways posture we do without the hip hinge. And then the full baby bridge is like when a hip is pushed, you know, forward, you're fully arching. And then the head can be, you know, up or down. But there's a range, the mini and max, and then life happens between. So it seems that way that now we, let's say we established the range of this, let's say, guard on your back. And that elbow post kind of includes that because we can still have our legs in front of the opponent. And so we have a range of open guard we can play on our back, so to speak, very passive on our backs, basically. Then there's some medium ones on your shoulder a little bit, you know, playing like meows and stuff and Lachlans. And then we have another extreme of playing aggressive, so to speak, even we can call it supine open guard because you still have your legs front of the opponent. And so we are established like a three ranges, like a, whatever way you like to go, but let's call it on your elbow and, you know, version that early. Then we have the middle part that we see used the most, actually. Yeah. And then we have the supine version that also we see people use, like meows. Like I think Keenan has talked about it. Kit Taylor has talked about it being on our backs. And there's, you know, Diego Pato, I've seen a team playing that. So there's still, it's around, but it's again, another extreme, so to speak, that people have been using, but there, you know, clearly there's some trade-offs and stuff. And so we know now like that those three ranges. So I don't think any of that disappears. I think if you don't have pressure, you can be on your elbow and create pressure as a default. If you have pressure, already somebody's pushing on you, you don't have to create space, they're coming at you. Or you can just lay there and wait for them. You can be on your side and play. Like, you know, there's plenty of like examples of that. And then also, I guess even like you can go to supine version and in a way totally shut down, you know, like a boxing cover and just, you know, not engage at all. And in a very jokingly, I would say, be on your opponent's mercy, but you don't extend anything. So they have to kind of come super close to you and look for openings. There's clearly, we talked about the benefits and the trade-offs, you know, there. But it seems to be that those three ranges, for me, I like it. So I'm still going to teach all of them. And then in different circumstances, you can use the tool differently. So I still find benefits of all of them.
Got it. Now, something that's been on my mind as we have this conversation, in a lot of the examples you've brought up, we're talking primarily about no-gi applications. And I would love to know your thoughts on how this position translates to the gi versus no-gi, and if it's better or worse in either of those situations. And I bring this up because if you think of the classic supine open guard, it's much stronger in the gi in most cases. And that's generally because if I get a decent collar and sleeve grip on you, I can just pull you into that position and there's really not much you can do to stop me. Whereas in no gi, I don't have the grips to force you into that position. Do you find with this sideways open guard that it's better in no gi or perhaps in the gi? Are there ways that you would play it differently one way versus the other, or is it basically the same no matter what?
I don't actually find much difference in gi and no gi, also with supine. I know they can grab my pants and do stuff, and you know, but so yeah, I can't really differentiate because I teach it in both gi and no gi. And if you talk about so sideways version, then I would still do this because I can reach for collar, do stuff, and I don't find so much the pants grip are making a difference. But I know that, you know, Dan Lukehart, I follow from Facebook, he kind of seems to be very smart about all that stuff that happened also in the world right now. And I know that people like to pass, grabbing the bottom leg, you know, the pant grip, it's kind of in that level, it's kind of very hard to, you know, strip because of the athleticism and stuff. And he was, I think, mentioning that a lot of people are actually grabbing the bottom leg and, you know, trying to, you know, then go to north, south or whatever the long step style of passing or try to jump in. So we have to see that. I haven't noticed that much difference. So I would still see it. And, you know, against everything, you have some retention techniques and stuff. But we will have to see. So far, it's been good in no-gi and gi. But, you know, the judge is still out because I think it happened. We figured it out actually last year, February, it started. And then Tom, our other black belt in the gym, really in a summer, he worked on it, but he was, he's mostly no-gi guy anyway. So then it started to work and we could actually test it more because he was using it against decent people and we could see it, okay, there's actually potential. And now I've been doing seminars, mostly, you know, gi and no-gi, but I guess the like final jury is out there, so to speak, to really see what like a really, really high-level gi passers, what they would do. But grabbing, the, I think, the bottom leg, so to speak, as a gi grip, and then they pin it, and that seems to be what everybody's did also in the Worlds, I think, as much as I understand, Dan Lukert. And then different people had to deal with that. And I think he said like people had hard times dealing with that pant grip, so to speak. So
got it.
So we have to see that.
That actually leads into the next thing I wanted to ask you about, which is if you feel that this sideways open guard is going to excel under any particular rule sets. For me, the big thing about the sideways open guard that is interesting is because you're on your side like that, theoretically, it should be a lot easier to get up to a seated guard, get up to your feet, get up to shoot a double or a single from your knees. There's the ability to transition out of there, which is kind of hard to do if you have both shoulders on your mat in a traditional supine guard. But maybe talk a little bit about that. If you think there's any particular rule sets or situations where you think this position is really going to shine and why that would be.
I would agree with you. It's weirdly easy to sit up, I mean, to the full straight arm. And one of the first defenses we actually teach is keeping the aim, you know, that they're between our legs, funneling them inside our guard. The side-to-side passing, because of the sideways position, the side-to-side fast passing that you usually see people do, this is way harder, actually. That's also been feedback from some, I know, some black belts that have been testing this also. And people are funneled, those speed passers are funneled into the guard. And that's a good thing in that sense. And now they have to deal with knee shields and stuff and they can't really avoid it, jokingly, you know? So the first one we teach is sitting up from everywhere. So somebody grabs, let's say somebody does whatever turando, grabs the shin bone, you just sit up and cross arm them. So you push this way that their arm is across their body. And so, you know, one arm is covering the other arm. So they can't, they have to fight over that one arm. Like in boxing, so to speak, you would try to, you know, create those angles so the far arm is not reaching towards you. So usually, let's say if you know Turando pass, and then in a way that the version of Turando, when they try to drag your pants more to the mat, you know, so to speak, and then one of the defenses you do is you, when somebody does this, you try to sit up, you know, grab their sleeve arm when they grab the pant and sit up and then try to, you know, regain the guard. It's very, very hard to do defense. It's still doable, you know, but it's hard because you're playing on your back, you know, and if somebody is doing Turando version when they push towards the head more, you know, trying to like keep you on your back, so to speak, and then do knees, you know, knee and belly finishes and stuff, then it's, you know, you pummel the legs and stuff and invert, but that dragging the legs and sitting up is like, let's say, compared to how, let's call it, easy is to pummel. The pummeling is way more closer as a defense than sitting up version, if I would say it like this. But what happens when you're on your elbow, then sitting up and also in a way pummeling different ways becomes equal. Like they have, you have equal opportunities, and sitting up is actually a good position to reset a lot of passes. And, you know, the elbow post kind of gives you ability to escape the bottom leg very fast, do a technical stand up, whatever. So I find that is very, very useful. Is it like an a gi or no gi? So I myself use it a lot. And I enjoy, obviously, sitting up guard also. But, you know, it has its minuses, so to speak. And if somebody plays sitting up guard, you know, can be like a little bit tilted backwards, like you're playing guard, or a little bit going forward with your head ready to wrestle up. So there seems to be like the tilting point there also. So just a different thought would be like, I like that everything is like, you know, those trenches are known and then people can choose. I don't like when information is missing. So that's also one reason to study stuff, but that's a different story. So that would be one reason I would say the sitting up is way, way easier as a defense. And it's very, very useful to sit up from a lot of places.
Yeah, yeah. I think kind of the challenge with a traditional supine guard is if things go poorly, you don't have an easy path to bail out of there because it's hard to go from being pinned flat on the ground to getting up and transitioning to something else. And it makes it more challenging too, because for the person on the top, what they normally are going to want to do is pin you to the floor. And if your shoulders are already pinned down, in a lot of ways, you're kind of making it easy for them to do that once they can clear your legs. So just a consideration when you're talking about the traditional supine guard versus playing it on the side. I suppose I should ask, though, Preet, before we tie this up, are there any shortcomings or disadvantages about this side guard that you've identified so far? Maybe situations where it's not a good idea to play this?
Before I would try to answer this, can I add something to the previous point?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. You know, when we said sideways is like one extreme, you know, supine is other extreme, and then shoulder and stuff is like, you know, there's three structures. But what you actually explained right now, the elbow post seems also be like a middle point. It's like a sit-up guard on straight, you know, a straight arm. You have elbow and then you have supine, you know? So in the elbow post, you actually gain mobility from the sit-up guard and gain the leg protection of the supine guard. So it's weird middle point that actually, that's why I also enjoy it. So it's like you get benefits of the both world. So that is also one idea that people can play with, that why it would make sense. Otherwise, you have two extremes, so to speak, like supine, you know, and sit-up. And obviously, you can play on your side or on your back. So the elbow is super weird. So when I wouldn't use it? And disadvantages. It's always bad to say when there's no disadvantages, you know. I would not to like say that. That sounds really cocky. But for me, I would just leave it like this, that now I know the range of the tool. So obviously sideways, maybe the, you know, side is more open. Certain passes, maybe, you know, something. But the trade-off seems to be like I also have a easier time doing some retention, so to speak. So in that sense, it's in a way, I would say it is more open, but the trade-off also is you are attacking more. And then most sports as boxing and wrestling, they use staggered stances. So that's why I'm also very fascinated by this, because on your back, you are having a neutral stance. On your side, you have staggered stance. So like butterfly guard can be one straight arm. So it's more staggered, or you're in both cheeks. So staggered stance, they're coming with certain trade-offs. But also you gain something, so it, you know, the zero sum is like beneficial, so to speak. So, but I can't really say any of the bad things, because I know our leg lock guy in a gym, Tom, also finds it like not so convenient the way the top leg is. It's not so convenient where the top leg is in and arm is out, so to speak. And he doesn't find it so convenient to attack the leg locks, because he actually finds when somebody plays supine version of the guard, then certain leg locks are easier, you know? Even I think Keenan showed in some point stepping into the 50-50s or whatever from the supine version, you know, and doing stuff. So leg entanglements, they seem to be harder. So at the moment, I would say I haven't really thought about it, or I don't know the obvious, because as much as we have done seminars, we usually try to bombard that structure with everything. And what we know so far is no particular pass is dominating that structure. So I'm not saying that this structure can't be passed, but I'm saying usually when some structure happens, if there's a default flow, by time everybody starts to exploit that, you know, and then you just know that default flow is there. That structure, we haven't found like a really dominating default flow that if you do it 6 months, then everybody figures out how to pass it, so to speak. And that's also been evidenced a little bit, because, you know, what I promote is elbow post, because of the first range. But that sideways open guard, like on your shoulder, the way, you know, Ross or Lachlan plays, it seems to be, it's still around, and people are having a great success playing guard from there. And they have to bombard this with everything, knee slides, leg drags, north-south passing, everything. And it doesn't seem to have like a clear default flow that people are using this against that, you know? So far, I'm kind of relying on that, using those authorities a little bit to skip my own research and seeing what problems they have. And because I play more on our elbow, I'm still trying to find, you know, is there a big enough default flow? But every pass seems to work, so to speak. When you do sports, play left and right, feints, you know, blah, 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 combinations. So sport will still work, but no particular like vulnerabilities, let's say, are there. But I would keep that jury out, because it's still fresh, so to speak, even, and I would have to meet more people. But in our gym, we're still happy with it. But I guess the skeptical attitude is very healthy to have.
Got it. Got it. Well, Preet, before we tie this one up, was there anything else on the topic that you wanted to bring up or talk about, which we didn't discuss already?
Actually, I wrote something down.
Oh, preparation. I love it. Go for it.
Yeah. So Braulio Estima. So, you know, that when we talked about grilled chicken, I was mentioned Braulio Estima and that 2013 super match with Calvao. And that was our starting point, understanding, you know, how that simple structure can work. But now the fun part is if we went back and visited that match and magic, Braulio was using also his elbow, not once, but more than once. But we missed it because back in the day, we didn't understand its importance as, you know, maybe even switching from, let's say, from sitting up to supine or whatever. But he was actually using enough times the elbow. And then looking back, I see it now because now I understand the elbow post and the necessity of this. And that match was like, it was like totally different match. I was like, now I understand way more. So that was a really, we were excited actually when we figured out this elbow post and started to play with it. We were like, we have to see that match again because there's a big likelihood that Braulio used it and we missed it because we didn't see it, because we didn't understand it. And then so that was really interesting. So I really recommend also people to watch, still go to watch that match, Braulio Calvao. That for us started it all, and that structure, that grilled chicken structure dominated that, and that elbow post was also present there. So it's not a new thing, so to speak, but that's what I'm always, that's when we started this, we said like, there's not much public information about that sideways open guard. We'll see if Lachlan posts something because he did something with Ari Tabak and they did supine version, but maybe, I know his guard is changed now, he plays sideways, so maybe he has also some future information. We just filmed a DVD about it for Fanatics, actually. It sent the video also. So it should be out in a couple of months, actually.
That's fantastic, man. Hey, if people want to follow you, if they want to learn from you or check out your work, where do they go about doing that?
Following me, yes. So Instagram is one. I'm not so active on Instagram, like posting pictures, because I don't know, there's not much to post, but I'm very active in stories. So what my thoughts, my ideas, my traveling and stuff. So people can, you know, check my stories in that sense. I'm pretty active in Facebook. I try to like equally cover the same information, but I think stories are more like, you know, this happened. And in Facebook, I don't kind of spam, you know, too much, which is random topic. So Facebook, Preet Mikkelsen, I think Instagram is Preet Mikkelsen. Then obviously I have Fanatics stuff, but we try to renew the catalog also. A lot of ideas to film. And obviously the defensivebjj.com. is still active, still I'm there, and hopefully more because of my heavy traveling schedule is always breaking my routines. But still, it's one of my priorities to be more active and more present there. And actually, so I'm kind of sometimes feeling guilty about it. But those are, I think, the main ones. I think, do you know any other channel that I use? Or, you know, probably like, you know, that Preet Discord of mental models and stuff. But, you know, I'm randomly also there, so.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Preet is quite active in the BJJ Mental Models Premium Discord. He's got his own channel. So if you want to go and ask him questions, that's definitely one way to do it. But yeah, as always, I'll put all of those links in the show notes to make it easy for people. I do definitely recommend that if people haven't checked out Preet's defensivebjj.com, give it a go. It's an awesome value. I mean, I've been a subscriber there for years. It's a really good service because it gives you kind of an inside the lab peek at the stuff that Preet is working on, especially if you're early on in your jiu-jitsu journey and you're just really struggling with getting smashed and having any kind of success at all. The feedback that I keep hearing from instructors is that the defensive BJJ framework is just such a good way to get new grapplers to the point where they can at least survive and have competent defense that they can build on top of. So many other systems out there, they kind of launch right into the techniques and how to do the cool submissions. But anyone who's listening, who's been a white belt, remembers that when you are a white belt, the most frustrating thing is just that you're getting smashed every single time you try to roll. So Preet stuff is a great solution to that. Do recommend that everyone check it out. Again, I'll put a link to all of the stuff in the show notes. And of course, I'll also put a link to our stuff. Everything that we make lives on bjjmentalmodels.com. So easy to find there. Well over 200 episodes now that are entirely free, all of them timeless and valuable. So if you're looking for some audio jiu-jitsu education, you got a lot of material there. That's also where you can can sign up for our awesome newsletter, also free. And I definitely recommend you take advantage of that service as well. Beyond that, if you do want to kick it up to the next level, BJJ Mental Models Premium is how you do that. In addition to being the way that we pay the bills here, that's also the way that we deliver the majority of the value that we do. If you sign up for that, you're going to get over 50 hours of audio courseware from us, including an awesome 6-part breakdown that we did with Preet on the defensive system. Beyond that, you'll also get direct coaching from our Black Belt Review team, features stars like Josh McKinney, Brianna St. Marie, Dominika Oblanite. It's a really stacked roster. And as mentioned, you also get access to our awesome Discord, which I just can't say enough good things about, especially now that as of this writing, Reddit is basically dead. So if you're looking for somewhere to talk to people about jiu-jitsu, that's as good a place as any in our Discord. So again, if you want to sign up, cash in on that free trial, or get some of our other free stuff, bjjmentalmodels.com is the place where all of that lives, and I'll put a link in the show notes as well. But Preet, as always, man, I love chatting with you. Thanks so much for coming by and talking about the stuff. It's always cool to see what you're working on in the lab there and what you think the next big positions and defensive movements are going to be. So the sideways open guard is definitely something that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, happy to be here. So I thought, you know, what can we talk about? How we can talk about an hour for sideways, about sideways open guard. But, you know, you're a good host and you asked the right questions. And now time flies. So thank you for that.
No worries, my friend. Thank you as well. And of course, thanks to the listeners. Hope you had a good time as I did, and hopefully as Preet did. And we'll talk to you next week. Take care.